Okay. Hello, everybody. It's been about a month since it's been possible to work on these esoteric astrology adventures. We are now up to the 40th in this series, and we ended discussing the seven rays and the signs through which they manifest. And one very important aspect of this is to realize that it is not only the ruling planets which conduct the rays. For instance, Vulcan and Pluto are ray 1 planets, and indeed they do conduct the first ray. But because we have a situation in which the first ray passes through Aries, Leo, and Capricorn, therefore the rulers of Aries, Leo, and Capricorn are also related directly to transmitting the first ray. For instance, the first ray will strangely not only come through Mars, which has a lot of the first ray perhaps on the soul level, but will come through Mercury, which doesn't have any first ray at all, and yet it will be a transmitter. That the first ray would come through Leo and the Sun seems reasonable, because the highest form of fire comes from the Sun. It is solar fire, and even electric fire in our solar system is a subset of that type of fire. And through Capricorn, the goat, yes, indeed, because Saturn is a planet that conducts the first ray, but normally it's considered conducting only the third ray. And so it goes with all of these rays passing through the various rulers of the signs. What we have listed here in this tabulation are orthodox rulers, exoteric, and the esoteric rulers. And we see that love, wisdom, not only passes through Jupiter and the Sun, which are two so-called planets that carry the second ray, but also passes through Mercury and Venus and the Moon and Jupiter and Pluto. So even a first ray planet like Pluto ends up being a conductor of the second ray. So we have to bear this in mind. There are so many different methods, so many different conduits via which the rays can reach our planet and humanity. Active intelligence, we would expect it to come through the Earth and Saturn, and indeed it does. But it also passes through the Moon, which is strongly related to matter and the third ray, and its constant changeability suggests the third ray, but through Neptune as well, with its three-pronged trident, through Uranus, which has a third ray association, but through Venus as well, which can be considered in a way the monastic permanent atom in relation to our planetary logos and within the solar logoic system. When we look at the three major planets of this present period, which are said to be Saturn, Jupiter, and Venus, then in their present functions, Venus does represent Manus. And of course, the third ray passes through Saturn, which makes perfect sense, as it is a third ray planet. But you know, you see what I'm trying to say here is that the esoteric and orthodox rulers of a sign do conduct the rays which pass through that sign. And we should really make another tabulation to show which rays pass through all the planets. Probably we could do that, you know, off the top of our head, possibly. The fourth ray is passing through Venus. The fourth ray, affiliated with Taurus, Scorpio, and Sagittarius, passes through Venus, which has much to do with equilibrizing and harmonizing force, so it doesn't seem so strange, and through Vulcan, which may very well have a fourth ray monad, or at least a fourth ray sub-monad, as the ultimate monadic ray for all beings has to be the first, second, or third. The fourth ray is passing through Mars. There's plenty of conflict there, not much harmony. And the fourth ray, interestingly, is passing through Jupiter, which oftentimes looks like the number four as you draw it. I guess it'll look backwards here as I kind of draw that. And the fourth ray passing through the Earth, which has the cross as its symbol. But normally, Jupiter and the Earth and Mars and normally Vulcan and Venus don't transmit the fourth ray at all, and yet they must, because that is the way the ray will reach from the constellation through planets to us. Let's see, additionally, just checking here, as it's been a while since I've done this, and it does seem to be operating, which is good. And the fifth ray passes through the sun. Well, all the rays pass through the sun. You know, fifth ray is associated with Leo, Sagittarius, and Aquarius. And I think I've spoken that Aquarius is the coming sign which will transmit the majority of the fifth ray. But Leo presently is the sign which maximally expresses the fifth ray. So passing through the sun, sun doesn't have very much fifth ray about it, although it is aspiring to the status of Sirius, which has much fifth ray about it, just as the Earth is aspiring to the status of Venus, which has much fifth ray about it. So one day before long, both the Sun and the Earth will express the fifth ray more fully. Fifth ray coming through Jupiter as the ruler of Sagittarius, not much fifth ray there, but still it's a point of transmission. And through the Earth, as I explained, one day that fifth ray will be there. Right now, the planetary logos of the Earth is fighting a battle, we are told, on the cosmic astral plane, on the fourth subplane of the cosmic astral plane, but is moving towards polarization on the fifth level, the fifth from below. And that will give an intense type of focus and a higher luminosity, and may well occur when the Earth takes its fifth subsidiary initiation, as is shown or hinted in Cosmic Fire, page 384. Aquarius signs, the ray of signs passing through Aquarius, of course, through Uranus, yes, there's much fifth ray in Uranus, and through Jupiter, again, not really, but and yet it does pass through. Remember that all the planets have all the rays. It's a bit like saying all the human chakras have all the rays, which can be expressed through them, but there are some rays which are more focal within a particular planet than other rays. We come to the sixth ray, passing through Virgo, Sagittarius, and Pisces, and strangely we have the sixth ray passing through Mercury. There's not much of the sixth ray there. It's a very rational planet in a way, but it does express along the 2-4-6 line. The sixth ray coming through the Moon, we can relate it to the idea that the Moon is one of the rulers of the Lunar Lords, which is the sixth creative hierarchy, and the six is an important number of form, and the Moon is the mother of the form. See, I'm giving, you know, justifications here for how the rays might be related to the planet through which they are passing, and yet the fact that they do pass through the planet will operate whether or not the planet has real affinity for the ray. It does have affinity for the sign. The ruler or the logos of the particular planet will be related to the ruler or logos of the constellation, and that is a solid relationship, but the ray relationship may not be conventional or expected. Sixth ray passing through Jupiter, yes, I've often speculated that one of the rays of Jupiter may be the uplifting, enthusiastic, uprising sixth ray. On some level, Jupiter seems to suggest that. And then there is the Earth and its sixth ray. Well, certainly the Earth is under the spell at the moment of the 666, which is the physical body of the planetary logos and the 18 subplanes. Three sixes are 18, and that is precisely the lunar nature of our planetary logos, his dense physical body. sixth ray passing through Pluto. Well, Pluto has much to do with the solar plexus. And we're told that there is the disappearance into Hades, which is the connected with the solar plexus of many of the problems associated with the human being. So there is a kind of a cutting off of solar plexus reaction via Pluto. I wondered whether it might not be the sixth ray, one of the higher rays of Pluto, with the first ray being particularly the exoteric ruler. Finally, we come to the seventh ray associated with Aries, Cancer, and Capricorn. Well, regimentation through Aries and the protection of the form via the lowest vessel in Cancer. I think I already did discuss the ways in which the rays particularly relate to the signs of the zodiac. I hope I did discuss that. Can't review all that right now. And the majority of the seventh ray coming through Capricorn. But the seventh ray comes through Mars. Well, it's a planet which has much opposition to the seventh ray because it's so impulsive. And yet there is a spirit of regimentation going along with Mars, which suggests the seventh ray. As for Mercury, it's not a very grounding planet as the seventh ray is, and yet it has a similarity with the seventh ray in as much as it links, you know, high spaces with low spaces, and the ultimate statement of the seventh ray is the highest and the lowest meet. The moon is very much connected with the seventh ray and with violet, the moon's color in a sense, and with measuring time via the phases of the moon and with providing the vessel. Can the seventh ray be connected with Neptune? Well, normally one would think it cannot because it has so much of the 2-4-6 line, and yet there is a point in, is it on page 300? I'm not sure, of esoteric astrology where the Neptune is associated with the base of the spine center. And there is a point at which Vulcan and Neptune come into opposition, and Vulcan represents the head center, and I suspect Neptune the base of the spine. I believe that may be on page 300 of Esoteric Astrology. We can check that as we go along. We'll reach it as we go through this book. Capricorn and Saturn, yes, well, Saturn rules the entire cosmic physical plane. It rules also the physical etheric subplane of the cosmic physical plane. So, yes, naturally there is a connection with the seventh ray and Saturn. I'm just going to take a quick look here, if possible. This happens during classes all the time, so please forgive me. I go searching for something. Well, there it is. I thought it was. It's on... No, it's not page 300. It might be page 330. Well, there it is. There it is. It is on page 301. We see that the sun, possibly veiling Vulcan, represents the head. The heart is Uranus, and Neptune is the base of the spine, interestingly enough. So Neptune does relate to the faculty of desire. And desire is that which is necessary if there's going to be any manifestation whatsoever. Also, Neptune is the hierarchical ruler of Cancer, which is the lowest of the hierarchies on the cosmic astral plane and which is responsible for precipitation again onto the cosmic physical plane. Anyway, I think I did discuss these a bit. It's been about a month. But if I repeated myself just a bit, I'm sorry. Perhaps some new information has come through. Now we are essentially rolling into page 86 and the Tibetan is saying, let's make this just a little bigger. Okay, just a little bigger. Whoops. Oh, page 86. Let's see if I can find that. Sorry for this slight delay here. Okay. Aha, we were farther than we should be. All right. Just about there. It's not always easy to go back to where you should be. Because sometimes... Yeah, there we are. Okay. Very good. So, DK tells us, it will be obvious to you how much correlating work and how much readjustment of ideas will be needed as the new astrology is worked out into practical usefulness and eventually substituted for that which now, for that now holding sway. When I first read this, I was really excited because, you know, just a piece of personal astrology here, I have Mercury on the midheaven, Mercury, fourth ray, Mercury involved in correlation. The fifth, the midheaven being the place of the individual's dharma in a particular incarnation. So I thought perhaps I might be involved in this correlating work, as correlation is one of the things I like to do the most, and eventually the synthesis of all the relations begins to appear and the field of pure reason is revealed, or pure reason reveals the field. And all the relationships in the great science of relations stand forth with increasing clarity. As for readjustment of ideas, well, I don't know whether it's better to study normal astrology before studying esoteric astrology or whether it's not. The mind can certainly become cluttered by lesser ideas of quite a concrete nature, and that that cluttering can inhibit for a long time the assimilation of the new ideas. At the same time, there are certain things in classical astrology which really help the student know what Master DK is talking about. Obviously, he knows classical astrology very well, but has chosen not to emphasize it because the newer ideas are the ones that have to come through. I think it took me many years before I could begin to adjust the concepts that I had absorbed in classical astrology with the new incoming ones from esoteric astrology. And I've seen, you know, quite a number of practitioners of esoteric astrology not understanding the theory pretty well, but not understanding how it might be applied to the lives of people they try to help, applied in a practical way. And that may take some time. And also remember, when you're trying to help people with esoteric astrology, it's not the normal personality-centered individual that you are seeking to aid with this more advanced type of astrology. Otherwise, the interpretations will fail because they have not reached a point where that type of astrology is really relevant to them. Anyway, we've had approximately 80 years here, and these 80 years should have seen quite a growth in the applicability of esoteric astrology. DK goes on to say, the new astrology really embodies five sciences. The science of the rays. Well, I think you can tell by the way we've been approaching this, and also, more importantly, how DK writes, that the rays are inseparable from a study of esoteric astrology. I always say that the rays are here in the right hand, astrology is here in the left hand, and these two absolutely have to be combined for a deeper understanding of the true soul or psyche of man as it expresses on the within the personality. So every astrological factor that we can think of certainly has its ray correlation, and these we are attempting to master. The planets have the rays which are transmitted through them, and the signs of the zodiac have that as well, and the solar logoi have rays, and I wouldn't be surprised. I do think that the great constellations, which are centers in the One About Whom Naught May Be Said, have their own rays. Of course, all of them, but some of them emphasized. See, every chakra, all rays, but some emphasized. This is how I choose to look at it, and I think it's fairly accurate. And ultimately, this great universal septenet, you might say, coming from a great universal septenate. And we don't call that universal septenate the seven rays. When they come from the Great Bear, we call them the seven rays, but they are the ultimate prototypes of what we call the seven rays. So esoteric astrology has certainly the science of the rays. It also has the science of esoteric interpretation, which means that the... I may be experiencing degrading audio. Hopefully that is not the case. So far everything looks okay. You let me know. Sometimes it's very disappointing. You know, I make these long programs, even a whole class, and it turns out that the webinar did not take, or there's some technical problem. Well, it's loss, but all loss is minimal when compared to eternal possibility. So the science of esoteric interpretation is applied specifically to an understanding of the ways of the soul, or the ego on the higher mental plane, the ways of that ego within and through the three aspects of the personality, and through the personality as a unity itself. So we're not interested in specific outcomes in the world of form unless they affect the growth of consciousness. The whole study of esoteric astrology is about the growth of consciousness. Now this esoteric interpretation will be carried out through the science of triangles, the vast science, which we will discuss as we make our way towards page 404, or approximately. I hope we can last that long. And everything is triangulated, and the three aspects of divinity are everywhere found in relation to every type of entity. An entity is a unity, but it's also a three. There's kind of a trinitization going on with respect to every entity, and we're studying not only the science of triangles, but the science of rotating triangles, where the different aspects of the triangle seem to come into prominence at different times. The whole universal process and progress occurs according to the law of cycles, and these cycles are accurately timed. Emphasis is always changing, and we have to know what the emphasis is at any particular moment if we are going to be able to understand the energies we have to work with and what can be best expressed to bring forward the divine plan. And then, of course, the science of the centers, esoteric interpretation working through the science of the centers. Now, every planet is a center chakra, every star is, every grouping of stars with seven major is, and every greater being, such as the One About Whom Naught May Be Said, which is simply a chakra and is still greater, and so forth, we have to understand how the human being or any entity grows through the development of its force centers carrying certain energies at any particular time in its development. What is the chakric emphasis for any entity at a particular time? Now, you know, our solar logos, for instance, has had a huge astral emphasis and is largely a great entity who is cosmically astrally polarized. But now there is a movement of our solar logos towards a mental polarization, and perhaps whatever represents the throat center or the ajna center of our solar logos will be receiving new stimulation, let's just say Mercury, very definitely. Saturn, I would say very definitely. Venus always receives tremendous stimulation, and it has both a monastic and a love emphasis. So, you know, look inside your own energy system. And when we're interpreting your chart, what is the chakra or combination of chakras which are receiving emphasis according to your stage of development? You know, DK has gone over this, as I have, I think, pointed out, and it would be found in Cosmic Fire, approximately page 170. Yes, and, you know, here we are. We should be at least this. Man partially controlled by the ego, you know, partially controlled by the ego. And we are advanced man at least. And so some of the head centers are being activated in the heart and the throat, surely. And many of us, I would say the majority, should be spiritual man to the third initiation, which takes us through the heart, throat, and seven head centers. So, you know, basically what you're looking at there is a combination of Jupiter, the heart, Saturn, the throat, and Vulcan, the seven head centers. So this this series of chakras can be triangulated in relation to three planets. And then we move up towards the fifth initiation and still other chakric centers. So it's a huge study, this study of the chakras and their present condition, their tendency forward, their attempt to become equilibrated with two other chakras, the diseases that may be caused through over or under emphasis upon a particular chakra. The ramifications are stupendous. So I suppose in the beginning it's enough for us to know what the chakras are, what planets rule them, what rays come through them, what basic functions each of the chakras has. I suppose that is a beginning. And then, of course, one day our knowledge will expand like that of Master DK, you know, whose knowledge is stupendous on these matters. But, you know, he's given us enough to get started, and we will continue. Then the science of destiny, of which the progressed horoscope is the seed. Where are we going? What is our direction? What are, from a soul perspective, what type of accomplishment are we attempting to have in a particular incarnation? What might be the next incarnation which is destined to appear? Ultimately, the science of destiny is a monadic factor altogether, and perhaps that far ahead we cannot see. We don't really need to, you know, one, the old saying, lead kindly light, you know, one step is enough for me, as long as it's the right step. So consulting the rising sign and its rulers in relation to the science of destiny is very important, and from a deeper perspective we can consult the sign opposite the sun sign, which is, we can call it the monadic point from a certain perspective. It's part of the triple sun theory, which the modern esoteric astrologers are working on, the triple sun being the normal physical sun in its position in your chart, your sun sign, your ascendant, and the point opposite your sun sign. These are the triple sun. The astrologer Stephen Pugh, he's a very good one, has emphasized this triple sun early on in the game, and it's very important for us to study. This latter science will be based upon the four previous ones and will constitute an interpretation of the future, not, you know, in the particular incarnation, yes, and also perhaps in future incarnations, which will be founded on a correct understanding of the rays, personal and egoic, of the influence of the triangles, zodiacal, planetary, racial, and human. Racial and human. Okay, there's a lot that is said there. So the science of destiny will depend upon, let us look here, the science of the rays, esoteric interpretation, science of triangles, and the science of the centers. Okay, we are always trying to predict our future within a particular incarnation, but it's not just whether what will happen will be pleasant or unpleasant. It's about whether it will be goal-fitting in terms of the intention of the soul, and will bring forward that part of the plan in which we are supposed to represent. This science of destiny, well, according to your rays, so you will progress. In a particular incarnation, the personnel ray is very important, but the soul ray will tell us something more about the trajectory of progress for lives to come. A teacher becomes a better teacher. A leader or a governor becomes a better governor. All the future incarnations will reflect the quality of the soul ray. And the influence of the triangles will be found planetarily and zodiacally in every horoscope. There are chakric triangles, and there are also triangles between the races and the sub-races and their great areas of expression, the countries through which they work. We can begin to triangulate countries as well with their particular rays, and what each one of these countries may represent in terms of the centers within the planetary logos. A number of different countries together and their rays may tend to constitute, let us say, an ajna center, or some a throat center, or some a solar plexus. So we will want to study the human race en large and to see which of the different groupings of units within it represent which particular centers. That's also a very, 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 very big subject. I mean, humanity as a whole may, in one sense, represent the throat center of the planetary logos, but within that throat center there are all kinds of groupings which represent seven chakras within humanity itself, and the different races and sub-races and national groups tend to go to the constitution of those chakras. Let us say that if we're looking at a collection of the aboriginal groups which have a definite function, they would seem to be very related to the base of the spine center in some of its earlier functions. When we look at the great intelligentsia found, let us say, in the great universities of the world and think tanks, obviously, they represent different types of chakras within the race of humanity, the throat center, the ajna center. When we tend to look at those who are motivated by divine love and divine purpose, still other centers are involved. Okay, so we have all of these different triangles that are involved in the science of destiny. It's extremely intricate. But, you know, with every individual there must be one vector that comes forth as the sum of all the different tendencies, and it will be that vector, that direction pursued with force, which will tell us where we are going as individuals and as larger aggregates. These latter triangles are arrived at by a study of the individual human centers. Well, we're doing that, and from studying these individual human centers, let us say, we can extrapolate to the larger chakras. There's so much that can be learned about zodiacal planetary triangles, even, I suppose, racial triangles, by studying the chakras of the individual human being and the way they develop, when they develop, the relationships achieved as they develop. You know, there's always going to be a transference from the sacral to the throat center and all these entities. There will from the solar plexus to the heart. There will eventually from the base of the spine to the crown. There will be transfers, and this kind of thing will happen in solar systems. And it will happen within planets as well. And it will happen within those great beings we call zodiacal lords. These transferences will go on. Although, you know, when you look at a zodiacal lord and the different kinds of stars that are related to such a great being, it's a bit hard to sort out which are the particular chakras within that constellation. But within sevenfold constellations, which have seven major stars in them, it is probably possible to make an educated guess about which will be the chakric centers within any such greater being. For instance, in the cosmic logos in which our solar system and solar logos participate, we play the function of a heart center. And other solar logoi with whom our solar logos is associated will play the functions of different centers. Now, you know, one day, and maybe it's happening even now, there is a transfer from that which represents the solar plexus center in our solar system to that which represents the heart center. Okay, now what about in a cosmic logos? The sun is representing the heart center. What is that particular solar logos in our sevenfold cosmic logoic system that represents the solar plexus? Because obviously a transference of energy, analogically considered, will be moving from the solar plexus to the heart within this greater being, and we will be receiving that energy in our solar system, and that will affect us. So the implications are wide-ranging, and they are useful to the point it helps us get our own house in order and take care of our own chakric system. Now, when all this has been ascertained, I love that word because it does tend to mean made certain. In other words, it's not just a guess. You really know what you're talking about. So it'll be a while yet before this is ascertained. When all this has been ascertained and worked out in the new style of horoscope, which will later be developed, and much later we don't know, many are the attempts now to develop the new style of horoscope, but the masters certainly have horoscopes of which we know very little and which are extremely revealing, we are told. Then the science of destiny will be applied and the future indications discovered. I mean, you know, it's very good to know where we're going even in one particular life, and the progressed horoscope is perhaps the seed of that type of discovery. And the directed horoscope also helps, and transits, properly interpreted, also help. Where are we going in this incarnation? But just imagine if we could see the trend of the lives that we tend to be living at this time. What are the last several? What are the next several? What role does this particular incarnation play in the several lives that we will be leading, and the plan for which has already been formulated in the consciousness of the directing solar angel and in the consciousness of man as the ego when he can see clearly from the higher mental plane? Wouldn't that be interesting to know? Future indications will be discovered, only so that we can work with greater accuracy and advantage in the particular incarnation in which we are found. Of this, the personal progressed horoscope is the embryonic seed. I love that. There are so many different ways to operate with progressions. You know how astrologers are. Some of them have so much of the third and the fifth ray that they find many, many techniques trying to prove that a particular technique is perhaps the best, but perhaps all of them are helpful in some degree. There's great complexity in it all, but if we can just get the essentials, I think we're doing what we can do as students of esotericism this time. We'll leave this to the profound technical experts over the centuries to work out all of the different methods of progression. But certainly the day for a year method is very important, and there are even different ways of doing that. Yes, I've talked to some astrologers who who say that our normal methods of progression are a bit faulty, and sometimes they choose a different type of progression which is more of an average of the sun's progression, because the sun doesn't progress the same number of degrees and minutes of arc and seconds of arc every year, every day rather. There are differences in that. Well, of course, since a day equals a year, we're talking about the sun moving at a differential rate, although it's very close, but it's differential, every year, i.e. every day. So that's one method of progression, but the directed horoscope is also very important, and there we have the addition of approximately 1 degree a year to every planet in the horoscope. So the horoscope maintains its pattern, but everything just shifts 1 degree a year with the pattern maintained. 1 degree is a rounded off number, but some astrologers actually use the 1 degree method. Others direct the entire horoscope by exactly the amount that the sun has moved during a particular year. Others choose an average sun motion and move every factor in the horoscope by that particular average. This directed horoscope does work. From the pragmatic point of view, a day of our Lord is a year of our time. When you add the amount, the approximate amount that the sun has traveled every day, i.e. every year, to every factor in the horoscope, factors such as Pluto, Uranus, Saturn, Neptune, and so forth, that move quite slowly in the personal progress horoscope, you will find some amazing contacts being made between these outer planets, moving forward by approximately a degree a year, with other planets and other angles. And by whatever means it does occur, the energies are brought in. The energies are brought in, and we do experience them. Okay. Now, so, you know, there's the science of destiny taking the seed, being developed from the seed of the personal progressed horoscope. What a lot of work remains to be done here. And I might almost add the personal regressed horoscope, in which what is called converse directions and regressions are used. In other words, we look for the first year of life, we look not only for the first day after birth, we look for the first day before birth, and we keep on going in these opposite directions, and different contacts are made. Now, the tendency is to think of the contacts made with converse directions or regressed directions, regressed progressions, or I call them regressions, okay. So instead of progressions, regressions. Instead of directions, converse directions. The contacts made may have some sort of karmic implication, because we are, as it were, moving backwards in time and maybe touching upon points of resonance with past events of a karmic nature, which are thereby being brought into the present life. Of course, you know, so much research has to be done, and the danger is being can be considered being lost in a multiplicity of data. When you just have, you know, hundreds and thousands of correlations, you can find something to justify anything. But with the proper type of computer work and astute astrology, we will see whether these regressions on the day for a year method, or the converse directions of subtracting 1 degree a year from all planets and seeing what angles are made, we will see whether they stand up. Those who have used them say they do. But what we need in astrology is the ability to handle a tremendous amount of data in a manner that is not excessively time-consuming. This is our problem. But the developments in computer science in relation to astrology will, I think, allow us to do this. Okay, some indication of the relative values can be gained by consideration of the human triangles as given in a treatise on cosmic fire which suggested the following. I think I've been there, okay, to that section, let's see what he does, because sometimes he harkens back to cosmic fire in the later books. Okay, I do believe this is the section around page 170. Well, we'll just read through it. I think we've discussed it a bit. It would repay the student to contemplate the interesting succession of triangles that are to be found, and the way in which they must be linked by the progression of the fire before that fire can perfectly vivify them. So first comes the linking of the different triangles, and then the transmission from point to point, and then with that transmission a composite vivification until there is perfect vivification, not only of each chakra, but of the entire triangle. And then pass on to other transmutations, and there's the word, because as the fires rise and as the triangles are vivified, transmutation is in progress, and the matter of our system, our little microcosmic system, is being gradually upgraded, refined, made more receptive. So with the rising through the lower triangles to the higher triangles, there is a gradual transmutation of all the matter in the personal system, and there will be other and higher transmutations going on within the causal body until it is properly developed and can be dispensed with. We might enumerate some of these triangles, bearing always in mind that according to the ray, and by that he means the monadic ray. And that's very important. You say, well, monadic ray doesn't have a whole lot of practical utility yet, but according to the monadic ray, so will be the geometric rising of the fire. And according to the ray, so will the points be touched in ordered sequence. Now, you know, here's one of DK's methods of blinding, the ray. Well, which? You know, we might think personality ray, we might think soul ray, but elsewhere he makes it pretty clear that it's the monadic ray that has this really real connection with the etheric body, and according to which, in a general way, the different parts of a triangle are vivified. You know, we always, in a way, it's always knowledge first, love second, will third. But as I have said, although knowledge goes first for the second ray monad, the point in a triangle representing the love will keep pace with it. Will is always the hardest to develop, but for the first ray monad, it will come into expression sooner than for the other types of monads. And in fact, it will be the love emphasis which will have to be developed by the first ray monad, and which may be a little bit more retarded in its development than for the other ray types. Certainly the love point will be much slower in development for the first ray monad than for the second, and even for the third ray monad. And so it goes that for each type of monad, one point in the triangle is most difficult to develop, and one point is easiest to develop. For the third ray monad, obviously the knowledge point is the easiest to develop, as it is for all, but especially for the third ray monad, most rapidly. For the second ray monad, the love emphasis, the love point in the triangle, is the easiest to develop, even though it is second in order, generically considered. And for the first ray monad, the will point is easiest to develop. What is most difficult for the third ray monad is to develop the will. What is most difficult for the second ray monad is to develop knowledge. What is most difficult for the first ray monad is to develop love. This is what I've concluded in reading from A Treatise on Cosmic Fire. So all of us, according to our monadic ray, are in process of dealing with the geometric rising of the fire. Of course, it is mostly unconscious to us. But if we are able to isolate the particular triangle with which we are working in any particular incarnation, assuming that there is one particular which receives the most emphasis, we may be able to look at the three members of that triangle and see which is in the greatest state of development and which needs attention. So let's go on here a little bit. Herein lies one of the secrets of initiation, he says, because Sanat Kumara certainly knows what to vivify next and how to equilibrate the energies, and also readiness for initiation may have to do something with the degree of equilibrization of a particular triangle, which is to receive the emphasis. It is solar fire which is the equilibrating energy, and perhaps it must be applied to a triangle to bring about greater type of Libran balance. Libra being not only a third ray sign, but I intuit or think at least a second ray sign as well. And herein are found some of the dangers entailed in a too quick publication of information concerning the rays. Well, it is of such complexity that it can be presented in the uncorrelated form, and people will just look at it as an impenetrable mass of information that they can't fully understand. But when the compilations begin to be made and the organization of the information in a more assimilable manner begins to occur, then we have the possibility, a greater possibility of misuse. Well, anyway, the pranic triangle is here. It's got the shoulder center at the lower part of the shoulder blades, not the heart center. We have the center near the diaphragm, which is higher than the solar plexus, and I believe it's above the diaphragm, the last I checked. And then we have the spleen, which is below the diaphragm. So here we have sort of the first ray center, the shoulder center, center near the diaphragm, second center, second ray center, and the spleen, the third ray center, assuming that we would have a correlation here with first, second, and third ray monads, the spleen receiving activation first, in general, generically, the center near the diaphragm third, second, and the shoulder center at last, but activation varying according to the monadic ray. Anyway, it's a foundational, in a way, Lemurian triangle. Yes, we did deal with this before, but, you know, it's worth a little review. The one thing when dealing with Master DK's material is review, 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 and slowly assimilate until it all begins to correlate. Assimilate to the point of correlation, and correlation will bring unification. Man controlled from the astral plane, which is not the people who are reading this book, although there is some astral control, naturally. We haven't mastered that thing completely. Base of the spine, center, solar plexus, and heart. In this particular case, I suppose the third ray point would be the base of the spine. We have to look at what would be the highest controlling center. Okay. The battery is just about gone. So you know what I'm going to do? I'm going to come back to this. I'm going to come back to this. Just excuse me for just a moment. Yes, there is a problem, as I'm not really getting juice here. Okay, we will come back to this, and I will do the great invocation at this point because we are just about at the end of our rope. And I don't want to have this close off. So, the great invocation. From the point of light within the mind of God, let light stream forth into the minds of men, let light descend on earth. From the point of love within the heart of God, let love stream forth into the hearts of men, may Christ return to earth. From the center where the will of God is known, let purpose guide the little wills of men, the purpose which the masters know and serve. And from the center which we call the race of men, let the plan of love and light work out, and may it seal the door where evil dwells. Let light and love and power restore the plan on earth. Okay, friends, actually, I discovered it was a very simple problem. We actually have just a few more minutes here, so I'm just a tiny bit out of order, still to represent the fact that Mercury is really retrograde and has caused many people many problems. In a way here, when you look at the heart, it is the greatest of the centers, so you could think it relates to the first ray. But from another perspective, the base of the spine represents the first ray. The solar plexus, having to do with the sixth ray, is related to the third, and the heart may be the second ray center. There are different ways to look at this, but in terms of the power of the center at a particular time, it may be only the third ray aspect of the base of the spine center which is emerging, and the solar plexus may be connected, in this case, as the middle center and the heart with the first ray. But the heart does seem to stay in that position for quite a while, man controlled from the mental plane. The base of the spine center, in this particular case, will again be the first ray, the heart will be the second ray, and the throat obviously the third ray. But in terms of their ordering, the base of the spine is in the third position, the heart in the second position, and the throat is the foremost emphasis during the phase of man controlled from the mental plane. So there are two ways of looking at this. When we look at it from the point of view of the rays, the base of the spine has the obvious first ray connection, ruled by Pluto and some other planets. The heart is an obvious second ray connection, of the throat the third ray. In this particular relationship, when the when the monad is the first ray, the base of the spine may receive more stimulation than for monads of other types. So the one way of ordering these triangles is according to the ray they express, and the other is according to their so-called height or level within the etheric body, the throat with its 16 petals having a higher position than any of the others. When it comes to man controlled by the ego or advanced man, we have the heart, the throat, and the head. We cannot really say that the heart represents the third ray. It always represents the second. The throat, in this case, represents the third ray, and the head, the will centers the first ray. But the heart is in technically a lower and sustaining position in this particular triangle. And the it is a constant, but the throat is receiving greater emphasis. There are some initiations, the first and the second really, in which both heart and throat receive emphasis. The heart especially for the first initiation in a certain way, and yet the throat and sacral center have a peculiar relationship in that initiation. And we could say that the throat center has a peculiar emphasis in the second initiation, and yet, because we're achieving spiritual intelligence and mental illumination of a kind, But the heart does receive stimulation of the second degree because of the raising of the solar plexus energy to the heart. So in both these initiations, we have both the heart and throat involved. But our interest here is the progression of the fires according to the monadic ray. And I think a very safe way of looking at it is, in general, the type of rays that go through the particular through the particular centers. Now, when it comes to the very first or pranic triangle, that's not a totally safe way of looking at it, because there's no way that the second triangle, that the base of the spine would be maximally stimulated at that time by the first ray. It just will not happen because of the stage of development. And yet the base of the spine has a definite first ray connection. And yet it sustains all in the field of matter. Well, you know, I kind of wanted to finish this little bit. The seven head centers, heart, throat, and seven head centers, just the same. Heart, second ray, throat, third ray, and seven head centers, first ray. And now this is interesting, though. You know, you ever wonder whether the heart can, in a way, because it is the vitality, take up the third ray position? Normally it does not, but it can be the foundation, the etheric vital foundation, and in that respect correlate with the etheric body and the third ray. The seven head centers here would be a Vulcanian expression along the second ray line, because Vulcan is related to the heart of the sun internally, which is very, you know, unusual to think about, and the two many-petaled lotuses would be the first ray combination. Anyway, we did go over this, and there are different ways of thinking about it, both generically and in terms of the level of the center, and in terms of the ray passing through the chakra. So here we are. We're probably still, I don't know what page we're on. I suppose it's page 88. Okay, we've made it to page 88. So this is the end of Esoteric Astrology Adventure number 40, from 86 to 88, and we will continue as time allows. Right now, I find myself in a rather cold little teepee, literally, I'll do my best to continue these, as I would like to get through this whole book, which will be not only a study of esoteric astrology, but we'll try to bring in many psychological and cosmological factors, sort of a synthesis of occultism as far as I can see. But of course, if I were to use different books, my tendency to synthesize occultism would have a different flavor. All right, we're not too bad. So friends, that will be it for the moment. End number 40. And we will see you before, excuse that the great invocation is a little bit out of order, but I thought we were going to have a crash, and there's no way to redeem the program that I've just made for you if there's a crash. Okay, we'll see you soon, and many blessings to everybody, and we'll talk to you later.